Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. A little bit of a local update to start off this hour. Maura Healey is polling questions, leaving little doubt of run for governor. It's looking, I don't even know how it's looking as far as Charlie Baker is concerned, whether or not he's going to run. That's what she's trying to figure out. And I think she's trying to show him that she is definitely interested in taking the job. All of our options in Massachusetts seem terrible, so I don't really care either way. I mean, we had a Republican governor. It did me no good. So if she wants to take a crack at it, go ahead. It can't be any worse than what we have going right now. Now, to move on a little bit here to the coronavirus, I do want to talk about these new techniques. Jared calls them blackmailing. Some of this, it seems more, though, it's going further away from blackmailing, like saying, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't come into the store. It's going a little bit more now into the bribing scenario, where if you get the vaccine, you will get a beer or you will get a ticket to come see the game. And I don't know which. Well, I do know which is worse. The extortion thing is worse, holding things, freedoms out of people's reach. But giving people stuff is also kind of weird. It started with the Krispy Kreme donut. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I did not have a problem. When they offered the Krispy Kreme, I said nothing. Because, let's face it, Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, especially when they're fresh, there's nothing like them. They're magic. They're magic. And I'm not going to stand in the way of anyone getting one of those for free. But now it's getting murkier. I should have drawn the line with the Krispy Kreme in hindsight, but my mouth was watering. And now as it gets to beers and tickets to games, I'm starting to go, this feels strange. You know, this is a medical injection into your body. I don't think you should need to be bribed into getting it with a Coors Light or whatever the beer of choice is. We're going to go over some of this. Let's first start with Phil Murphy, the New Jersey governor, announcing that there will be free beer for those who get vaccinated, cut 14.
Our office of the Department of Health, in partnership with the Brewers Guild of New Jersey, are teaming up to launch our new Shot and a Beer program to encourage eligible New Jerseyans ages 21 and over to get vaccinated. Any New Jerseyan who gets their first vaccine dose in the month of May and takes their vaccination card to one of the following participating breweries as proof of vaccination will receive a free beer.
Now, maybe this is going to make me sound greedy, but if you're someone who already got vaccinated, are you kind of thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I didn't get this. Do you try to go back and get it retroactively? Like, hey, can I get the free beer? Because I got the vaccine before you guys even offered this. I don't know. What do you think, Jared? Is it a good idea?
I mean, is this like a punch card, like a club card? You go to a sandwich shop so many times, you get a free sandwich. Like, is it the same type of thing? Like, oh, you get your first shot, you get a free beer. You get a second shot, you get two free beers.
You get your booster shot.
The booster shot that's coming. Yeah. No, this, again, if we have maintained all along, to this extent, we are pro-vaccine. If you want the vaccine, get the vaccine. If you don't want the vaccine, that's cool too. You have the freedom to do what you want to. We feel neither way about the vaccine on this show. We're neither for it. We are not against it. It is there. It exists.
It goes
your
back to
choice.
Jared, it goes back to Grace Curley's number one rule.
Yes.
Mind your business.
Exactly. If you wish to get the vaccine, great. If you do not wish to get the vaccine, you should not be coerced or forced or bribed into getting it.
And there's also another element of this that makes me skeptical, and that is that the governors who are coming up with all of these great ideas about giving away free stuff in order to get people vaccinated also happen to be governors with horrible track records.
You know what? If you get vaccinated, we won't put your grandmother in a home.
I'm going to give you a ticket to this baseball game, and I'm not going to kill your grandma. How's that sound? Things could go a lot differently if you play this differently.
Know what I mean, Joey? Hey.
Let's play Governor Cuomo, cut 20.
You're going to the game? We will set up at the game a facility as you're going in, come a little bit early, and get your vaccine at the game. You're going to the game anyway. It's on your way. Stop and get a vaccine. And if you get a vaccine, you get a free ticket to a Yankees or a Mets game.
And another thing this makes me wonder, first of all, I have no desire to go to a baseball game. Okay? I don't care what the game is. No way. But
that's still a ripoff to see the Mets.
Exactly. You're still paying a price to go see them. I'm kidding, of course. The vaccine, like we said a million times.
The Mets are terrible.
It's great to get the vaccine if you want to get it. But you know what could have avoided this? If Andrew Cuomo didn't sow so much vaccine doubt when Trump was president. He was like the number one anti-vaxxer. I'm not letting any vaccines come into New York that are from Donald Trump. It's not under my watch. Now he's got to give out free tickets to these crappy baseball games. Maybe if you just didn't make people fear the vaccine in the first place, Andy, you wouldn't be in this predicament. And it's the same goes for Phil Murphy. Like, maybe if you just did a good enough job, you wouldn't be so desperate that you're giving out free beer to everybody. Like, he's like a college kid who's trying to make friends, so he's having a big party with free kegs.
646, hey, radio stations give away money, trips, cars, swag, why not shots? Be caller 10, you get a free shot.
Yeah, it's getting really strange. It's like prizes for getting
the
shot.
If you hear Led Zeppelin between these times, you get a COVID shot.
And also, if they're trying to appeal to teenagers, which I think I've said this before, is insane that teenagers are getting these to begin with. But if you're trying to appeal to teenagers, we all know the correct way to go about that. You tell them they can't get the shot, and then teenagers will do the opposite of what you're telling them to do. You don't try to convince them to get it. You say, no, you're not allowed to get it. And guess what? Those teenagers will be running to get it. They don't like authority.
617 said his son's university in Connecticut offered students entered into a raffle ticket for a new iPad. Get the vax, get a new iPad. A chance at a new iPad. It's like a chance at reopening your business. You know, get vaccinated, you get a chance to reopen your business. Or a hot dog on the 4th of July.
Let's play Governor Andrew Cuomo talking about... Oh, did we already just... We just played this, didn't we? He's getting so lame, and he's treading water at this point. Leo, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Leo. Leo? Not there. I don't understand. And Derek Hunter from Red State Town Hall, had a good piece about why he's waiting to get the shot. And he makes it clear a bunch of times, like, I'm a big believer in medicine. I think it's awesome. But what is this urgency to get young, healthy people vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, that's where I am. I am not anti-vax, but I am young. I am not in a risk group. There is no real impetus for me to get the shot right now, you know?
Right. And the threats, you know, by Sonny Hostin telling me that I won't be able to go into stores. And then on the flip side, Phil Murphy standing outside with a beer being like, if you get it, this beer could be yours.
I love the Babylon Bee headline, Republicans not getting vaccines because they realize liberals will stay away from them if they don't.
That is a huge perk I didn't even think of. Democrats are like, we don't want to take our masks off. We don't want to be mistaken for Republicans. Don't worry about that. We don't want to hang out with you. We don't care how you're voting. We just want to be left alone, okay? We're not going to, unlike Democrats, if you don't have a mask on, no Republican's going to come over and harass you and ask you who you voted for, okay? We might think you're normal. We might give you a little thumbs up, but that's it. We're not going to come over to you with a cell phone and start recording you at, like, Costco. Spring is in the air. Imagine the smell of freshly mowed lawn, buds on trees, and the thought that summer is on its way. It really is on its way. I'm looking out the window right now. It looks gorgeous out. We're getting there slowly but surely. After a long, dreary, depressing winter, my prescription is a stay at the Follansbee Inn on the shores of Keysar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite lakeside getaway. It's also my family's favorite lakeside getaway. My parents are booking their rooms for this summer. Picture yourself waking up in the morning and looking out at the diamond reflections of Keysar Lake, where you're boating, swimming, or just relaxing with a book. The Follansbee Inn is great for family gatherings, a personal retreat, or a romantic getaway. Reserve one of their 17 unique historic guest rooms. Each comes with its own private bath. And honestly, I cannot say enough about their breakfast. Dennis is the innkeeper. And man, we had VIPs in yesterday for Howie's show. And two of the guests said to me, oh, we stayed at the Follansbee Inn. And I said, oh, that's great. And the woman said, I could not get enough of that breakfast. And I said, I know, you can eat the breakfast there and it keeps you full all day long because it's so delicious. You're bound to eat too much of it. It's really great. It's all cooked to order. Your oasis awaits at the Follansbee Inn. Go to FollansbeeInn.com and book now because you deserve it. That's FollansbeeInn.com, spelled FollansBee. That's FollansbeeInn.com. We will be back. We'll play some more sound for you. And then, of course, we have producer's picks coming up shortly. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for listening today. I hope you're having a wonderful Thursday. We're moving right along here. And let's go out to the calls. Nancy, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Grace. Love you. Congratulations on your upcoming marriage.
Thank you.
What I'm calling about is I heard the soundbite that said that we should, you know, banish people who don't get the COVID shot. My daughter has something called antiphospholipid syndrome, also called Hughes syndrome. Now, she's 33. Because of it, she had three miscarriages and has a blood clotting disorder. So I absolutely do not want her to get it, and she's not going to get it. So what are people who can't get it, what are they supposed to do? Are they going to have to get shirts that say, I am not medically authorized to get COVID shot?
Right.
It's like wearing a scarlet letter. It's like you got to wear a scarlet letter if you can't get it or you're not getting it. It's ridiculous.
Exactly, and there's obviously... a lot of people keep saying, well, there's nothing wrong with the vaccine and there's no science about it doing anything wrong. But my whole thing is, yeah, but we haven't even watched it for that long. And while it's wonderful for people who are vulnerable or have comorbidities, I'm a 28-year-old woman. Why do I need to get it? And maybe I'm missing something. But Nancy, I do see your point. And the person you're referring to, I want to play this for people. The cut Nancy is referring to is Sunny Hostin from The View. She thinks we should shun the unvaccinated, like Nancy's daughter. Cut four.
So I say we need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated. Just like now in certain states, many states, I know in New York, there are signs on storefronts, on businesses all across the state. No mask, no entry. I think if you have not been vaccinated, no entry. You want to get on a plane? You got to be vaccinated. Show proof of vaccination. And those people that don't want to get vaccinated, then that's fine. That's fine for you. But then you can't spread it to other people that are vaccinated. You can't spread it to other people, rather, that aren't, that are also not vaccinated. Then you don't get those other liberties that come with immunity. It just, something has to break. If that's your personal choice not to get vaccinated, you don't then get to infringe on the rights of those who have chosen to protect their fellow citizens.
What about people who don't want to get the measles vaccine? You know, there's plenty of people who don't get their kids vaccinated. Does Sunny think we should start ostracizing them? By the way, this is the party of unity. Nothing says unity like the word shun. We need to start shunning an entire group of people. You know what the scariest part of that cut is, Jared? Sunny is a lawyer. This woman is a legal mind.
Unity!
And that's what she thinks we should do. I do want to talk about, because I think it ties in this idea of people fighting each other and creating this division in our society between vaccinated and unvaccinated. And it made me think of this story that I read in the Post Millennial about a child soccer game on Sunday. Now, this is West Seattle Soccer Club, and the president of the league started sparring with a parent over wearing a mask. Is the sound good here, Jared? Oh, okay, let's play cut 8.
I'm allowing you to stay because, again, it looks like we are complying with our permit because nearly every other parent complied. But if you don't mask up, you're absolutely leaving. So you decide. Are you going to mask up or not?
I'm not wearing a mask outside, and I'm not going to let my little girl hang out in an unsafe area in White Center with no parents, which is what you've asked us to do.
That's
you initially
not true.
Asked, yes, it is.
That's not true.
It is.
You're welcome, and we would love to have you have a parent here with your kid, of course. Are you going to mask up? That's the only thing I'm asking
you. I'm outside. I told you I would.
Don't, please. Are you going to mask
I'm in
up?
Dugout. No, I'm not going to wear a mask outside.
Then I need you to leave. Fair enough. It's your decision. If you want to mask up, I'm willing to let you stay.
Great.
If you don't mask up, you're leaving.
Thanks, Chip. Thank you.
You're leaving.
I am?
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it.
Eventually, the police are called. And Jared, you brought up a good point earlier today. You said no one's, this president is, he just wants the league to continue and he knows he's going to get in trouble if this guy doesn't mask up. The parent has a great point too. He's outside. He doesn't want to wear a mask. We've all reached that point in the past few months. But it's these ridiculous rules and decrees set by and diktats set by the Dr. Fauci's that are creating this kind of animosity and this hatred of one another and this anger. And it's so avoidable. There's no reason either of those people should be in that position outside on a beautiful day watching a soccer game. But here we are. David, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, hi, Grace. Did you notice or have heard that the CDC's own website is saying how many people have died from the vaccine already? There's been over 6,000 that have died within 48 hours of taking the vaccine.
I'd have to double check that. I don't know that to be true. So, David, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hold you there. I don't want to spread any misinformation, especially about something as important as the vaccine. The CDC, though, they have a lot of issues with mixed messaging, including coming from Dr. Rochelle, Dr. Fauci, and it keeps getting worse and worse, and it doesn't seem like it's going to slow down. And Stephen Miller had a good point. He said a year ago, the president and his COVID policy was all that we could and were supposed to talk about. Fair enough. Now, ask why none of our media is talking about our current president and his COVID policy and is instead focusing on the third in charge of House chair leadership. That kind of summarizes the issue. And Biden's own mixed messaging, forget the CDC. The CDC has nothing on Joe Biden. The guy is a walking mixed message. The American Federation of Teachers shamelessly described the CDC as its thought partner. How humiliating for the CDC, a once respected institution, paid a whopping $8 billion last year to dispense impartial health guidance. This is a story from Miranda Devine of the New York Post. But she goes on to mention how Joe Biden, his message is all over the place, but it does make sense. He can admit that the vaccine rollout was well underway at a rate of 1.6 million shots in the arms the day he took office, or he won't be able to pretend it's his triumph. He can admit that the economy was storming back in a nice V-shape before he did a thing, or he won't be able to justify $6 trillion in crisis spending. So Biden needs Americans to remain masked and fearful just long enough for him to claim credit for the end of the pandemic and the strength of the economy. He once suggested that Independence Day would be our date of freedom, but this week he pushed it back to Labor Day. He offered no science to justify the delay. Of course not, because science isn't good anymore. Enough. The introverts and opportunists have had their day, or rather 14 months, and now it's time for the rest of us to come out of the closet, vaccination papers in hand, and actual science to back us up. July 4th isn't the day anymore. Damn, I was looking forward to that hot dog. All right, we'll be back on the other side with producer's picks. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. You know what's interesting about the sunny cut? If you guys missed that, she's basically saying anyone who doesn't get the vaccine should be shunned by the rest of society. Because, again, the Democrats are all about tolerance and unity and seeing the other side's point of view. But it's an interesting thing to think about, and I try to use this sparingly. If Donald Trump were president today, would Sonny be saying the same thing? First of all, would anyone trust the vaccine if Donald Trump was still president? And would there be this free beer, free tickets push to get everyone vaccinated? Or would someone like Sonny be saying, I'm holding off because I don't trust the man who's occupying the White House? Just a thought. Hypothetical, but I could see that playing out. Maybe I just don't have enough faith in the view. All right, it's my favorite part of the day. I get to sit back, relax, and let Jared take over. Jared, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
You know how it works. Jared picks out his favorite stories of the day, and he tells us all about it. Go ahead, Jared.
All right. Well, we talked about this a little earlier in the show. Bill and Melinda Gates are getting a divorce, and they actually issued a statement on their divorce, which I'm going to read. After a great deal of thought and a lot of work on our relationship, we have made the decision to end our marriage. Over the last 27 years, we've raised three incredible children and built a foundation that works all over the world to enable all people to lead healthy, productive lives. Can we get a fact check on that? We continue to share a belief in that mission and will continue our work together at the foundation, but we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple in this next phase of our lives. We ask for space and privacy for our family as we begin to navigate this new life.
I always find that those announcements, and I understand that public figures make them, but I always find them kind of narcissistic, you know, self-indulgent. Oh, we're so important that the whole world's going to care that we're getting divorced. Now, in their defense, the whole world does care. It could affect a lot of things. But there is something about it. And it's a little braggy in the beginning, like bragging about how much, you know, how wonderful they are. Just saying. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just pointing that out, that these statements are a little bit self-indulgent.
And it's all over the internet. It's not my unique take, but it's also my take. The cojones on this guy to ask for privacy.
Great point.
The man who tracks the world. He wants privacy. Guess what, Bill? I want privacy from you.
I don't even want privacy. I gave up on the idea of privacy a long time. Okay, there's a computer camera thing in my laptop right now staring at me. I'm sure I believe in all those conspiracy theories that there's people watching and whatever. Privacy's out the window. Your information's out there. I hate to break it to you.
A dollar bill instead of in God we trust, in Gates we trust. Mr. Gates, when did you realize you were creating a monopoly? Monopoly's just a game, Senator. I'm trying to control the f***ing world.
Yeah, I've given up on having any sort of privacy. What does irk me is the story about how she's on a private island trying to cope with this divorce. And Bill's fine with that, you know, like, oh, yeah, sure, honey, whatever you need to get through this, go to the private island. And Grace Curley is supposed to not get a cheeseburger once a week, medium rare, with two slices of American cheese, because that is not doing enough for the climate. You're renting out a private island. I feel like somewhere in there, whether it's getting there or keeping the lights on at that place, you're producing more carbon emissions than when I eat my burger.
That is a big old carbon footprint.
Exactly. Now I really, really, really want a cheeseburger.
That clip was Robin Williams in 2002, just FYI. All right, so we talked a lot about Tim Scott and how the left has just been absolutely eviscerating him because he dares to not believe what they believe. Well, we talked about Gary O'Connor, who was a Texas Democrat who called Tim Scott a, quote, Oreo, unquote, which is a viciously racist term. So Colonel Alan West, who's the chair of the Texas Republican Party, and an all-around great guy, he used to be in the House of Representatives. He's talked about running for governor. A lot of people think he'd be a good governor. Anyway, Gary O'Connor, the Texas Democrat who made the comment, actually resigned over making the comment, but the highly tolerant Democrat Party of Texas refused his resignation. So he's like, look, I said the thing. It was bad. It was gross. I want to resign. They said, nah, we're cool. It's cool. We don't need your resignation. We don't accept it. Keep doing what you do. So Colonel Alan West put out a little video to Gary O'Connor and the Texas Democrats, and this is what it sounded like.
Well, some Texas Democrat county chairman from Lamar County, Gary O'Connor, referred to Senator Tim Scott as an Oreo. And so I just think that I will just walk over to the Texas Democrat Party, or mail it to them, a nice little package of Oreos. Because until this guy resigns, I'm going to stand up and speak out against the party of systemic racism, the party of the soft bigotry of low expectations.
So every day, Colonel West is going to either mail or bring Oreos to the Democrats. And that is something I can get behind. That's, I don't want to say a level of petty because it's not petty, but that's a level of petty that I can really, truly respect.
See, like, I'm never a fan of, I don't know, the props thing. It's a little lost on me. I get it. I get what he's trying to do, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a good use of his time or his money.
All right. So we played a little earlier. Brian Stelter is worried that the January 6th insurrection, which Joe Biden, the sitting president, called worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11. He called it the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, which that's a long time ago. Maybe not for him. I mean, he was a lieutenant in the Army then.
Yes.
But, I mean, he fought. He had the onions on his wounds. He did the whole thing. So it has become the thing that all the politicians want to talk about. And I understand. It was a dumb thing that was done by a group of people, and it could have been very dangerous. And I say it could have been because as we get further back from it, I'm going to be the adult in the room and say, guys, chill out. It was not
the worst thing in the
ever.
World.
Basically, it's the equivalent of some pool hoppers jumped into your pool and you shot one of the pool hoppers, the only person to die from that directly. And now you're scared. So you want all the security. You want everything. You know, Joe Scarborough described it this way.
First of all, let's get a couple things straight.
This is a flashback.
So, that guy, Ron Johnson, said that the people who were bashing law enforcement officers' brains in with American flags.
Yeah, they really ran with this. And I've talked about this before, but a lot of people confuse it as like, oh, you know, we made a mistake. We had to update it. We made a correction. We got it wrong. But when you look at situations like with Brian Sicknick and other tales that they were telling about how people died, and I'm not saying what happened to Brian Sicknick wasn't terrible, and I'm also not saying that it's sad that he did pass away, but he didn't die from getting hit with a fire extinguisher.
Right.
And it's not that they made mistakes out of a lack of curiosity or looking into it or because they were trying to beat other publications. These people collectively decided this is the narrative we want to run with. The longer we get it out, the quicker we get it out there and the longer we run with it, it will take over the real narrative. And that's exactly what happened. They, for so many days and weeks and minutes of their show, talked about how this was the worst, most brutal, most violent act in American history. And now we're all scared to just go, wait, it wasn't that. Like, we even have to always say, of course it was bad. And it was, but I'm also fine with saying it was dumb and it was bad, but it wasn't what Joe Scarborough thinks it was. He even knows it wasn't that. They're just lying because they're hoping that it will overshadow all of the facts that continue to pour out of this situation.
Well, now, James Murray, who is the Secret Service director, is reviving a plan that was first brought up in 2015. Who was in the White House then? Where the Secret Service wants to replicate buildings like the White House and the Capitol as part of a training facility to the tune of $8 million. I don't know. These structures exist. Maybe just use those. But again, more wasted tax money. The Secret Service wants to make another White House and another Capitol so that they can practice defending them.
I mean, the amount of money we waste will never cease to amaze me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old soul. $8 million still seems like something to me.
And if that's not enough to disgust you with the government, we go to our very own Senator Elizabeth Warren. She was on Cheddar TV, which is a financial television news network. I believe they are a subsidiary of Yahoo. But anyway, she was talking about the Facebook ban yesterday, or the Facebook Oversight Board upholding the permanent ban of Donald Trump.
I'm glad that he's not on Facebook. I think that he poses a real danger, but I don't think Facebook ought to have this kind of power. We need to break up these giant tech companies, and Facebook is one of them. They are crushing competition, and in cases like Facebook, they're acting like they're bigger than government.
God forbid anyone do that. She can't have it both ways. If you really don't like what they're doing, then you should say they shouldn't do it. You can't say, oh, well, I hate Donald Trump, so in this case, it looks good. But in general, I don't think they should be able to do this. I'm sorry. First of all, let me do my Elizabeth Warren. So I don't think that they should be able to do this, but I also love that they did it. Pick a lane, lady. Pick a lane.
The birthing peoples and the babies. But that's, I talked about this with Howie before the show. That is the real problem, the disconnect with people like Senator Elizabeth Warren, who think that government is the be all and end all. And that is the crux of what has gotten us into this situation.
Yeah, but it's also the disconnect between thinking that something that happens to Donald Trump cannot eventually turn its way around and happen to you. We've seen it happen, you know, throughout history, hundreds of times. Revolutions eat their own. But she just thinks, well, of course we can ban Donald Trump. He's awful. But they probably shouldn't have this much power. It's like, well, yeah, well, you're not really saying much.
All right. Well, you said earlier in the show that journalism is dead.
Well,
it may be on the comeback. This is from Catherine Watson, who's the White House reporter for CBS News Digital. Super excited. Sent out a tweet this morning. Big news. We have a new vending machine at the White House. It's got Diet Coke and Bubbly and Coke Zero.
We need to play like a funeral march song every time something like this happens.
She goes on to tweet, not sure who exactly deserves the credit here, but I thank and praise White House Correspondents Association President Zeke Miller for this. So, good news, there is now Coke Zero and Bubbly for our hardworking, tireless gumshoe press.
Is it regular Coke?
Oh, it's every kind of Coke. I'm sure there's cherry Coke. I'm sure there's vanilla Coke, apple Coke, Hunter's Coke. All kinds of Coke.
Jared, I don't know if that's going to be good, though, because I don't know if Biden wants people drinking that kind of sugary crap. And I don't know if the White House press corps can make that decision themselves. He might have to ban it. Sure, will there be Coke smuggling? Yeah. But he knows best.
Fair point. And on this day in 1954, Roger Bannister ran the first sub-4-minute mile. As far as we know, without any performance-enhancing, because they really didn't have like steroids and things at the time.
Sub 4 minute mile.
Yes, Roger Bannister.
What does the sub mean?
Below 4 minutes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah, sub 5 minute mile. I'm sorry, sub 5 minute mile, not 4 minutes.
I was going to say that's super fast.
Yeah, that would be super fast. And also, happy second birthday to Archie Mountbatten Windsor, son of Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, and Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, seventh in line of succession to the British throne. He was born this day 2 years ago, May 6th. Happy birthday, Archie.
You didn't want to throw that in for the royal update?
I thought about it, but...
You're being greedy. You're like, I'm saving this for producer's
but,
picks.
But, you know, I'm just saying... The royal update is for special stuff. He's technically not a royal. They want to raise him as a private citizen, so...
Oh, so you didn't think it qualified for the royal update?
I did not in that situation.
Wow, Jared can be so shady when he wants to be.
Respecting the child's privacy.
Oh,
and the privacy of the birthing peoples.
Got it, got it, got it. Good point. We'll be back on the other side with Howard Lawrence Carr. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's amazing because we had David Marcus on earlier in the show, and he mentioned that there's parts of the United States that are totally normal, and then there are parts that are bonkers. And Joe Rogan mentioned this as well. He said, you know, he had just been in Florida, and it was very normal there. And now what I'm noticing is Governor Ron DeSantis, that horrible, horrible Trump-supporting evil man in Florida, who seems to have no shortage of people coming to his state, is talking about how he's funding the police and he's giving even more money to the police. And he's doing normal things that people want to see happen. And meanwhile, Phil Murphy's talking about how if you get vaccinated and you're over 21, you will get a free beer. And Andrew Cuomo is telling you that if you get vaccinated, he will give you a free ticket to the Yankees game. And this difference between red and blue is that there's no one better to talk about it than Howie Carr, because he just left a normal free America state and he's returned to a crazy state.
You know, it's my fifth day back, Grace, and the sun finally came out today for the first time. I was shocked.
Don't get used to it, my friend.
I know. It'll probably be another 5-10 days before there's any more sun after today.
Soak it in. Soak it in. Howie, what do you think of these ideas to kind of give away stuff in order to get people vaccinated? And the craziest part is Sonny Hostin from The View saying that if people don't get vaccinated, we should shun them.
You would think that as deadly as this disease is, you know, it can strike down anybody at any time. I mean, if you have 7 people show up before May 10th, at a restaurant and they sit at the same table, they're all going to be dead within 24 hours. You'd think people would be lining up to get this vaccine. I don't quite understand it. And if the vaccine is so effective, why do you have to keep wearing masks?
And you notice all the people who are either, there's two roads you can take trying to get people to get the vaccine. You can use extortion, like we're not going to let you in, or we're not going to let your kids come back to school. Or you can use bribery. We'll give you free stuff. We'll give you a donut. We'll give you beer. But all the people doing either of these things, they were the same people who had such doubt about these vaccines when it was President Trump.
Right. And they were also the same people who had the bumper stickers, our bodies, ourselves, question authority.
Our bodies, our choice.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know, all these people, now they're total status, and you have to do whatever they want. You know, there's a talk show host in the morning who says, you know, the liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory.
As long as it's mandatory. Exactly. That's the one plus side of the beer thing. I'm like, at least they're trying to bribe people to get it and not just holding them down and sticking it in their arms. But
Did you see DeSantis today when he signed that bill? And he did it live on Fox News Channel. And that just drove him crazy. And all the people standing behind him in Palm Beach, not a single mask, not even one mask. There were like 10, 15 people standing behind him, and they were all laughing and cheering.
Can you say super spreader? We'll be back. Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This has been the Grace Curley Show.